Where do you draw the line between inspiration and appropriation when it comes to musical compositions? That question was at the heart of the much-publicized copyright infringement case earlier this year over the song Blurred Lines. It's also behind a pending case involving Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. As Allison McCabe reports, it's not always easy to prove a song is yours, especially when you're up against one of the biggest rock and roll bands of all time.
Before we get to the current cases, let's hear how a song can change, even a little bit, from one performer to the next. Late one night, around 1960, folk singer Ann Bredon, known back then as Ann Johansson, brought her banjo to Berkeley, California radio station KPFA and performed this song on the station's open mic show. Berkeley student Janet Smith heard it and asked Bredon if she could teach her the song. Smith then tweaked it to come up with her version. Smith performed the song at College Hootenannies. Joan Baez heard it while passing through town on tour.
She came up to me and said, "I like the kind of songs that you sing. I wonder if you'd be willing to send me a tape."
Smith was thrilled.
It didn't occur to me that I should have identified Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You as being written by Ann Bredon, because in those days, people who wrote stuff kind of hoped no one would notice and have it be an official folk song.
Baez changed it a little more, then recorded it for her 1962 concert album. But Ann Bredon wasn't credited as the composer until 2 years later when Baez's songbook was in the works. Janet Smith led the publisher to Bredon. Fast forward another 5 years and Led Zeppelin recorded its version.
Baby, 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 I'm gonna leave you.
Neither Smith nor Bredon were into rock, so they didn't hear Led Zeppelin's version until the 1980s when Smith's 12-year-old son brought it up.
He said, "Mom, I didn't know you did Led Zeppelin tunes." Yeah. He says, "Well, there's this one called Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You." And I said, "Just think how many people have written a song called I Love You." But then I changed my mind after about 20 minutes. I said, "Maybe I better listen to it." And in fact, it was Ann's song.
But again, slightly modified. It was listed in the credits of Led Zeppelin's debut album as traditional, arranged by Jimmy Page. So Smith helped Ann Bredon pursue legal action, eventually winning an out-of-court settlement based on the credit in Baez's songbook. But proving a song is yours isn't always easy.
The first step in that is establishing ownership, meaning you're the one who created the material.
That's Ken Anderson, a leading music attorney who's represented both plaintiffs and defendants. He says you also have to show that the accused had access to your material.
In a case where you don't have very strong proof of access, but there is a striking similarity, some courts believe that it's the expert's job to give that testimony.
One of those experts is musicologist Judith Fennell, who's testified in many high-profile cases, including the recent Blurred Lines trial. Although she can't comment on the specifics of that case, Fennell explains how musicologists generally make comparisons.
We listen to the music if it's recorded, or we study it if it's only in written form, and then we start to determine whether or not they have similar pitches in common, for example, similar rhythms. What is it that makes them sound related, if it is in fact related?
The same court that heard the Blurred Lines case is not considering a copyright infringement suit against Led Zeppelin over Stairway to Heaven. The estate of the late guitarist Randy California alleges that the opening of Stairway sounds too much like the instrumental Taurus, which was recorded by California's band Spirit 3 years before Zeppelin recorded its song. Led Zeppelin's lawyers either declined to comment on the suit or didn't respond to emails, but Francis Malafy, who represents California's estate, points out that in 1968, Led Zeppelin was not yet a famous band.
Led Zeppelin opened up for Spirit, and they became very familiar with the music that was played in their live sets, and that was obviously the song Taurus, And Jimmy Page is on record repeatedly saying that Spirit as a band moved him on an emotional level.
If the case goes to trial, it will be a rarity. Lawyer Ken Anderson says juries are unpredictable, and most litigants prefer private settlements. Anderson thinks this case could go either way.
I could listen to the Led Zeppelin Spirit thing, and you know those are exactly the same chord progression and descending chromatic bass line as Michelle by the Beatles, which trumps both of those because it came a long time before, and everybody's heard that.
For his part, Led Zeppelin's guitarist Jimmy Page has denied the infringement claims in the Stairway suit. The band has been the subject of at least a half dozen claims, aside from Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and Stairway to Heaven. In 1985, songwriter Willie Dixon's estate sued Led Zeppelin over A Whole Lot of Love, claiming it was an infringement of Dixon's song You Need Love, recorded by Muddy Waters.
Baby, way down inside, woman, you need love.
That case was settled out of court, as was a 2010 infringement suit against Led Zeppelin by the singer and songwriter Jake Holmes over Dazed and Confused.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true.
2 years before Led Zeppelin released that song, Holmes wrote and recorded his Dazed and Confused.
I'm dazed and confused. Does it stay, does it go?
But for many songwriters, it's an uphill battle. Musicologist Judith Fennell says fewer than half of the claims she's asked to evaluate are ultimately pursued.
For an individual songwriter who basically has almost no money to go up against a company with an entire department of lawyers and outside counsel, and endless amounts of money, it's a very impossible situation.
The potential payoff may be worth the effort in cases like Stairway to Heaven, where millions of dollars are at stake, but lawyer Francis Malafy insists it's just as much about seeking credit where credit is due.
It's a situation in large part about having to educate the public in that there was an individual called Randy California, and he was a phenomenal guitarist, and this relatively unknown song called Taurus, but how significant it was in the history of rock and roll.
For NPR News, I'm Allison McCabe.